Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael here, DetroitLions.com, the K&M podcast as we talk Lions football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken Brown. Three in a row heading into
Thanksgiving week.
Who'd have thunk it?
Thanksgiving week. If you went back a few weeks when they were 1-6, or a couple of weeks
ago, 1-6. Yeah.
But there was nothing to play for. Everybody was down. Coach can't coach. Players can't play. Brad Holmes should be fired. Dogs and cats playing together. The world is in trouble. Global warming. Gee, three wins in a row just takes everything and moves it around, doesn't it?
Yeah, Kenny, even watching the kneel down or the victory formation is kind of exciting in a way. It's kind of fun to watch. And look, I think the 2022 Detroit Lions are better than the 2021 Lions, no doubt about that. But I also think the Lions in this three-game win streak, the Lions of November, are a better team than the team that played in September and October. So I guess what I'm saying is, in a long-winded way, is they've steadily gotten better and have taken a bigger jump this year than they did during the 2021 season. I think it's a much better football team. It's a team that can compete.
Yeah, no doubt. And the things that even impressed me even more is not the old hang-on veterans or the glue pieces you put on the team that are winning games for you, like that 2007 team where Marinelli, where they started out 6-2, but they were like old guys making plays, and they just won a lot of lucky games. But then the second half collapsed. Well, that's what I said, 2007, and then the collapse. This is a team of young players making plays, getting better before your eyes, and you just, and I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, go back and look at the old podcast, be patient. This is a work in progress. Let it go, but I like the way it's progressing. There's going to be some bumps and bruises in the rest of the road this season, but nevertheless, you see where Dan Campbell is trying to do and where he's trying to go.
I agree with that. Right, I agree with that. And Brad Holmes, too, the general manager. And I think if you just look at that team, like you've already said about the young players, or something I'm putting together for DetroitLions.com, one of my weekly columns, and I don't say that it's weekly either, W-E-A-K-L-Y. It's must-listening, of course. No, but seriously, if you look at what a couple of their top draft picks, look at Aiden Hutchinson, what he's done in the first 10 games, 11 games this year. Look at what Kirby Joseph, the safety from Illinois, look what he's done. These are winning football players. These are players who are playing maximum snap counts, right? You know, as much as anybody on the team, anybody on the defense. And they're making winning plays. And that's, to me, when you get that kind of production, and I'm talking about positive winning production, you've got something for the present, and you've got more for the future.
Yeah, this is amazing, because 3 weeks ago I was reading articles out, Aiden Hutchinson was a bust and hadn't done anything and it was overrated, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what people were watching. Like I said, even though he wasn't getting sacks, and if that's what you think it was, even from the first game, where he was flying by the quarterback, he wasn't getting to him. But I saw it then. I just said, give these guys time. But, you know, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into everybody knowing that I'm right, because I'm always right about things like this. I don't want you to clap me on the back, please. I don't need that.
Well, listen, put me in the camp. I wanted to see more. And since then, I've seen more. I don't think that's unrealistic.
No, but I think it's unrealistic for people that want it right away and think that every rookie is going to come in and be on the all-pro team. And it's just not real. You're not living in a real world. This is a game of grown men doing grown men things, and you have to develop into it. I don't care if you were the first pick or the 300th pick. You develop into these things.
Well, but there's a big difference between analyzing and judging, making a judgment. And in my analysis of Hutchinson, we're talking about him primarily. My analysis was what he was at that moment in time, but I didn't have a final judgment on him. I mean, I will stand by this. I think he's going to be a 10, 12, 13 sack player per year. I don't think he's going to be 21, 22. He's just not built that way. But there are other things that he can do that some of the other guys can't. And then one of those is he's a very, very sharp player. And you look how he's around the ball. He's pursuing the quarterback like he did yesterday, waving his hands, getting up in his face, distracting him, blocking his sight lines and all that. He's just not out there jogging around because he can't get to the quarterback. He's out there making plays. He's playing football. Same thing with Kirby Joseph. Playing football. That's what they're there for, and that's what they're doing.
All right. I'm not going to be sitting here. Listen, I'm not – I agree with you, but by the way, I want to move on to the other players, but that's just
sure,
one of them.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but I don't put any limits on smart football players. And then put a little athleticism in with a smart football player, I don't put limits on whatever they can do, so let it go like that. Now, the big news today, J-Mo is back, baby. Jameson Williams' window is open. Mike O'Hara. Now, this is when we start seeing what you got for Matthew Stafford. Because this is where that pick last year went. So now, these are the dividends from the trade. Beforehand, you hadn't used any of them. You haven't gotten any of them. Now we start to see. Now, I know. Well, you know what? I don't know anything. I don't think he's going to play Thursday. Would it put it past me if they put him in uniform Thursday because of the injuries to the wide receivers and he ran two plays with him? No. I don't know where it's going to go, Mike, but just saying that his window is open this morning and the Lions put it out on their Twitter feed, that's amazing in itself.
I would be absolutely shocked if he plays Thursday. Absolutely shocked.
I would, too.
Put a guy out there with 2 days of meetings and no practice time. Is that what you're going to do?
No, I didn't say play. I just said put him in uniform just to ride. Like I said, you putting guys in uniform, man, that I've never heard of anywhere that don't play, don't get any snaps. It'd be, like I said, for the show part of it, I want to see it. I understand they're not going to do it. But for the show part of it, I would love to see him jog out of that tunnel on Thursday.
Well, come to practice next week. You can watch him.
No, I'm not coming. All right, here we go. Yesterday's game. Couple of points that I want to make in this game. A strong victory against strong. And this is one thing people aren't. I saw these statistics today. The Lions are like good record in the division, good record in the conference. They're like 4-4 in the conference, I think, or something like that. They're 3-3 in conference. They're 500 in the conference. They're 2-1 in the division. Dan Campbell against top whatever the number teams, I forgot the stat it was, is 3-0 this year. I mean, these things haven't been done in 5 years. Patricia never did these things that Dan Campbell's doing already with this team.
Well, just a second. He can't be 3-0. He lost to the Eagles. They're 8-1 or 8-9.
I didn't say 3-0 in conference. I said 3-3 in conference.
Okay.
I said he's 3-0 against top I don't know what the stat was. He was 3-0 against top something teams or something, or whatever it was. He has a 3-0 stat against some stat that I have to come get back with you on. So the Eagles probably wouldn't count unless it was the record at the time. And, you know, when they played the Eagles, they were 0-0. So I'm saying that the record at the time, I think that's what it was. Some stat against top teams.
Okay.
I'm just giving, look, you can laugh if you want to it, but I'm just letting you know what it is. No. You can laugh all you want about it. Somebody put a stat out there, and they evidently went to research, so whatever it is, and I'm not sure, so I don't want to say, it was a good stat. It was 3-0, whatever it was. But even if take the division in the conference. Matt Patricia, I don't think – I saw his record for the 3 years. I forgot how many division games he won. It was way low. Way low. I think
he didn't win any games, period.
I think he won the one Green Bay game that year, didn't he? I think he won one division game. I think it's real low.
They beat Green Bay in the last game.
Right. I think that's the only division game they won the whole time he was here. But nevertheless, these are things you start stacking up and you start improving upon. And I looked at that team in the locker room yesterday when I saw the in locker room film, and I see a team that is gaining more confidence every week. And they've always played hard, but now they're seeing what their hard work does.
No, absolutely. Look, there's nothing like winning to solidify what you've been working on and to give you the idea. It builds, first of all, it builds trust, it builds commitment, and it builds confidence. If you start doing things and you're doing them and they work, then it processes in your brain that, hey, this is what I'm doing is working. Let's keep doing it with whatever modifications you make around it. And I think that's pretty standard in any sport. We're talking about football where you're getting, you know, kind of battered around out there and you want things that work. And I think that's a lot of that's what's happening right now. Now, look, we're talking about a 3-game sample. Do we have more to cover on? Yeah, because I like this sample better than I did when they were 1-6 and averaging, 35 points a game? I like the way they're doing it now.
Well, I'm taking the season as a whole. I don't think the three games they're playing any different than before, except for they're doing one thing differently. They're not turning the ball over. They're not making that stupid mistake, and they've learned how to close games out in the last 3 weeks. Because there were games in that first streak that they could have closed out and didn't. So that's where I'm taking the whole season as a, you know, as a viewpoint. And I just think that when you start learning how to close out games, that's the last part before you start really turning the corner. And they closed out a good team on the road, and they've won two road games. You know, that right there, that's impressive.
No, it is. It's impressive for the Detroit Lions for where they were and where they've been. But I think we both talked about this. If they're going to get anywhere, you know, in either this year or in years to come, and I think the good years, it looks like there are good years ahead to come, you've got to be able to win games in your division, and you got to be able to protect home field advantage and make it an advantage. And I think they're starting to do some of that, some of both of those things, and we'll see if they can carry forward with it.
Yeah. Now, a couple other things I saw yesterday. I see now why T.J. Hockenson was traded. And this is not a slight to T.J. Hockenson. He's a fine tight end, and on certain teams, he could be that tight end that teams are looking for. But the way they use Kabimba and Brock Wright in the other facets of the game than receiving, I see Dan Campbell's imprint on how he wants his tight end to be. And I see now that Hockenson, that's why I was always wondering why he wasn't getting the ball more and he'd have a big game here and then you know, do a bunch of different for four or five games, wouldn't get it. He's just not the type of tight end that offense is using. The way they're using their tight ends now is the way Campbell foresees it. Strong on the blocking, strong, tough, and, you know, short pass. You get a few every game, but you're not going to be featured as a receiving weapon. And I saw that yesterday again. I've been watching it the last few weeks, but I saw that. And if you noticed it, Mike, they have become a really stronger inline team since Hockenson left.
Well, they're not going to pay $8 million or $12 million a year for a tight end who catches, you know, 20 passes.
Right.
Apparently, that's just now. That's me just watching. It's not something I know.
Right.
It's my observation. But no, that's not. You don't pay that kind of money for that kind of tight end. That's nothing against, you know, that's nothing against T.J. Hockenson. He's a doggone good ball player, but that doesn't fit what the Detroit Lions
right.
are doing.
Right, doesn't fit what they're doing. That's what I was saying before.
And for example, Jason Kabinda on that, I think it was the first touchdown run by Jamal Williams, or maybe it was the second one. I forget. It was right through maybe the left side of the defense. Kabinda just powered everybody out of the way. Honestly, the guy just kaboom, they were gone. In fact, on the on a radio broadcast, T.J. Lang referred to it as the old man angry block. And that's exactly what it was.
Exactly.
You know, that's the way they're playing.
Yeah. Now, if he learns how to catch, he had a walk-in touchdown too. But that's the last part of his game he got to get, because that was a beautiful play call where they faked the screen to the right side, came back to him on the left, and he dropped it. He'd walk right in the end zone. They settled for three. Lucky it didn't matter yesterday. But those are plays that you know you make when you got your fullback back. And Kabimba, he had been missing the first part of the season. He has a role on this team.
Oh, absolutely. He was a guy that they were holding a spot open for when he got healthy. Now he's healthy. He's played, it's two games or three games, but he's there and he's taking his regular turn now at what he does.
Exactly. Item two. I hate to tell you this, Mike, but I think that Dan Skipper should be starting. And I'm going to tell you why. I just thought the weeks since Evan Brown's been playing right guard, I just thought they weren't running the ball as well as they were early in the season, even when Steinberg and these guys were in the first couple of games. And then when Evan Brown was in the start, he might be a better pass block or whatever. But he went out yesterday after like 14 snaps, and Skipper played the rest of the game. I thought that was one of the most powerful offensive line performances in the last three or four weeks from them. And I just think that Evan Brown's not really a big run blocker. He's more of a center. He's more of a, you know, he's a good backup. But I like what I saw yesterday with Skipper in there.
Well, then you did. Then you have your opinion. I don't agree with it. And I on this one, I'll take the, you know, what the coaches, their decisions and their observations, I'll take them over the fans.
I understand.
Nothing personal.
I understand what you're saying, but facts are facts, and the numbers are there. All you got to do is look them up. The numbers are there. That since Evan Brown has been in the starting lineup, the run game has not been as good as it was before. It's just that's the fact. You can look it up. You can squash it, chew it, and eat it. That's what it is. And when he went out yesterday, all of a sudden, they start pounding. So take it as what it is. But, like I said, Skipper is still a good player. It's a good story. He's in there. And, you know, when you put a big 6'9 guy at guard, no matter what happens with him, they just look big out there. I just like the way that looked. Him and Sewell. And they had the one play where they put Sewell out wide and put Decker on the other side, and you just had a big wall of guys. Even though Sewell, I think, got called for a cheap penalty. But I just like the play calling that Ben Johnson's doing.
Yeah, that penalty on Sewell, bad choice by him. Didn't need to do what he did.
Yeah, it was kind of a cheap call, though, Mike.
I want the referees to call the rules. I don't want them deciding, is this cheap, is this that.
Hold on. Every ref decides what's a cheap or not. You can call a hold on every play if you wanted to. So referees always make decisions like that. It's nothing new.
Just call the rules, okay?
Call the rules. That's like saying just be pretty. What does pretty mean? It's an arbitrary word. There's so much discrepancy in what you can do and not. It is on the realm of what the ref decides that day. There's some days where they don't call at all. Some days they're going to be sticklers for calls. So it's always that way. I'm just saying it was a chintzy call. It was a call. I'm not arguing it, but it was kind of chintzy.
Pretty? Are we talking about pretty?
Yeah, we talking about pretty. All right, so the Giants, were they a fraud to begin with, or were they a good team that the Lions just beat down at home?
Well, I wouldn't call them a fraud, because I think if you win 7 games, I think you deserve what you got. But I think maybe they were overvalued a little bit. It's a good, solid football team, but it's certainly not stocked with star players like, for example, like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills and some other teams. No, they're not. That's not them. They're not the Philadelphia Eagles in terms of ability across the board, across the roster. But I thought just a good, solid team. They've got an average quarterback, average receivers, maybe a little bit below average. Not a very good run defense, but they managed to win games. And that's some of that's coaching. Some of that's just playing smart. But certainly not a team that I would. I would fear playing any day of the week.
I agree. Now, things I were disappointed in yesterday. I thought DJ Chark would get a couple balls in or get acclimated back in, because I think you're going to need him. I know you're going to need him, and I just didn't see it. He got 11 snaps yesterday. I don't think he got a target. I want to see some more action. I give him last game because it was his first game back, but I want to see some more action out of Mr. Chark.
Well, he did get the one deep ball that was safety got over and batted it away. Could have been an interception, maybe. Also, maybe he could have played it a little better himself and come up with a long game. But we'll see. I think as much time as he's been off and as little as he's played, I think he probably needs a break-in period in live action.
Yeah, I agree. But like I said, we're going into some problems this weekend. It's all hands on deck Thursday because we'll talk about that in a minute, but this is going to be a big game. Also, it looks like Okuda's not going to play just because of the league protocol. Even if he wasn't concussed, he got to go through all this protocol to get put back on the field. And Dan Campbell basically said yesterday he's not playing because that's the same with Tua that day. Are you talking?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I was saying Dan Campbell said, Wednesday, he probably won't play. And that's just like what happened with Tua when he got hurt that time. After you tried to play him that Thursday, so they changed the rules where it's virtually impossible if you get put out of a game on Sunday to play Thursday. So
yeah, there are some stipulations in how you can do it, but it doesn't seem like he fits any of those.
No, so it doesn't look like he's gonna play. And this was a game I really want to see him and Diggs go at it, because this is the games where you want to play. This is the game where he wants to play out as a competitor. It's the game you want to see where he's at.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry he's going to miss that. But it happens. As long as he'll be back the week after or whatever, it's fine. They played a good game. They're 4-6. They're in the hunt. Now, this is the time. I looked at the rest of the schedule. The hardest game they got left is this Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, sure.
This is it.
I doubt about that.
So, it's Buffalo, Detroit, Thursday, Thanksgiving, 3 days rest, Buffalo traveling again. I don't think they can win it, but I'm not going to call them out. I'm not going to count them out on it yet. I just think that this is going to be a good game. It's going to be one of the better Thanksgiving games in the last few years.
I think the Bills are not the team in November that they were in January and October. I don't think they're the same team. I don't think they're quite as good for whatever reason. You know, the quarterback has been, for his level, he's been a little up and down lately. A little bit of an injury issue in his elbow. And I think I wouldn't call this game flat out winnable for the Detroit Lions, but it's certainly, I think they'll be in the game. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't they be? They're playing good ball. That's all that counts.
Yeah. I mean, but there's always some flubs in there. But I just, before the season started, this was my L. I had this L already posted because I still think that Buffalo is the best team in the league, and they're just not playing it right now. But I still think they are the best team in the league overall. And I just had that down for, you know, one of those 35 to 12 games or whatever. But now I'm telling you, I think this is going to be a real game. And if you remember, I don't know, Mike, you remember. Do you remember the one time Buffalo came on Thanksgiving and Herman Moore took a flea flicker off the first play? I think Dave Craig was the quarterback, and on the first play of the game, he threw a flea flicker for a touchdown.
No, I don't remember that.
It was the Thanksgiving game. I always think of Buffalo and that. Now, I think this is the first time they've been back on Thanksgiving since that game. I'm not sure, but I think they haven't played a Thanksgiving game with Buffalo since that game. But they did a flea flicker to Dave Craig, and he threw it to Herman Moore for a touchdown down the middle, and I think they beat Buffalo that day. But I remember well Buffalo coming to town and playing Thanksgiving. So anything can happen.
Well, and that would have been the Silverdome in 1994, because that was Dave Craig's 1 year in Detroit.
Well, that's what it would have been. I know they played Buffalo. I remember that game. And they beat them. I do remember that. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a match. If they get this one, then you can start saying playoff fever, because you're back in it. At 5-6, you're back in it.
Well, you're in it at 5-6. I don't think you're out of it at 4-7.
No.
It's a lot tougher.
It's a climb.
It really is.
But if I tell you, after Minnesota yesterday, I don't know. Okay, I'm not even going to. See, you almost caught me about to get into it. I was going to say the division's still not over. Division's pretty much over. But I'm not a big fan of Minnesota, because I thought the Lions should have beat Minnesota. There were a couple other games. Minnesota should have lost to Buffalo the other week. Minnesota has been living the charm life till yesterday when they got the brakes beat off of them.
Well, if they became average at a key time for them, or at a fortuitous time for them, an average team can win the NFC North now.
That's right. And T.J. Hockenson dropped a touchdown in the end zone, but things happen. I love T.J., so we will miss him. But I just think that now the Lions, this team, Mike, is a year away from really being ready. I mean, Aleem McNeil, you got these. This team is, like I said, a few more pieces, and I've been saying this before, few more pieces and a little more development, and this team can contend for the title in the division.
No, I do not disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't, and I would not be surprised if they got within hailing distance in the last 2 or 3 weeks of December, and January too, because the season lasts that long. But I would not be surprised if they're just within sniffing range at the end.
Hey,
I have no faith in the Vikings holding.
No. What year was it where the Lions started 3-6 and ended off the last season? Was that 95 or 96? They won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
And they were 3-6 at one time. Bam, 7 in a row. They were in the playoffs. I think they got the brakes beat off by Philly, but they still knocked the rest of the games off the rest of the season. So,
well, I hope that Herman Moore and Brett Pittman and Barry Sanders and Chris Spielman and a few other guys show up. They could have a better chance of doing that with them. Maybe they'll come out of retirement.
Yeah, but they're also not playing any. I mean, like I said, look at the Lions schedule for the last part of the season. You got Carolina, Jacksonville. I mean, Mike, you got wins there to be had. You got to play the game, but you got wins on the Jets. I mean, those three games I just gave you right there that you should be favored in all three of those games.
I don't know about being favored by the Jets and on the road, but it's certainly a winnable game, especially the way they've played the last couple of weeks.
Then you got the Bears. You got Green Bay. I mean, I haven't – like I said, this Buffalo game is the only game I told you about that, you know, to me, a task to win. I mean, they got winnable games the rest of the year. They can lose them, but they're winnable. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it starts Thursday. It starts Thursday.
All right. We're not going to do a Friday, so make your prediction now for the game Thursday. What's your prediction?
Okay, Detroit Lions 28-27.
Oh, boy, you done drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm taking Buffalo to win the game, but an exciting game. I think it's going to be 36-29 Buffalo.
One-score game.
All right, Mikey, we'll talk again next week. See, isn't this fun to talk when there's actually stuff to talk about?
Absolutely.
Talk about the growing young Lions. They got big paws, baby. Big paws, and they're coming up.